Now, I want to speak to Eddie Lynch, who's the former chief executive of Aid Sector Platform. He's just been appointed at the beginning there of the weekend, Friday evening, as the next commissioner for older people. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
And the chief executive of Aid Sector Platform, I presume, trained you well to become the commissioner for older people. You would see this as a natural step.
Yes, absolutely, Frank. In my role as Chief Executive of Aid Sector Platform, I've been lucky enough to speak to many older people from across Northern Ireland over the past 8 years on a range of different issues and different concerns they have. So yes, I've been lucky to have worked with so many great older people, very enthusiastic and passionate advocates, and that will serve me well in my new post.
And what are your main challenges at the moment?
Well, we know we're currently running a series of pensioners' parliaments across Northern Ireland, so we know that there's major concerns from older people and a whole raft of issues. Probably the top issue of concern coming up at present is relation to health and social care issues. We're conducting our pensioners' parliament survey at present, and that's been the issue that has been concerning most older people where we have gone to date. But there's a raft of issues such as fuel poverty remains a concern, as does fear of crime, and also issues relating to age discrimination and elder abuse. So quite a lot of big issues that older people are still facing that need to be tackled.
Now, I'm sure you're going to say, absolutely, we do, as the answer. But I'll ask the question, do we really need a commissioner for older people?
Yes, we absolutely do, Frank. And it was older people themselves who actually campaigned for many years to get the post. Back when I started in the aid sector about 8 years ago, older people were adamant that they required a commissioner who could champion their rights, be an independent champion, to tackle many of the issues that they saw, and to work with the aid sector organisations to do this. So the commissioner has a range of powers to investigate, to give advice and carry out research for government to ensure that government policies and practices are as good as possible for older people. So very clearly older people spoke up and demanded this. They were right to do it, and I look forward to the challenge of doing the job and working with older people in the future.
Because we've had, how many commissioners for older people have we had? Have we had two before you?
Or just the one.
Just the one.
Clare Keating, yes.
Claire was the first one.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
You know, when we look back, I've heard her interviewed and I've heard her on radio and TV being eloquent, and no doubt she says all the right things and is very skilled in her field. But, you know, and I don't mean her personally when I ask the question, but the commission in general, did they ever achieve anything?
No, it's a fair question, Frank, but the answer is clearly yes. I mean, Claire did an excellent job starting up the office and carried out a number of pieces of work that have been extremely valuable for older people and for those who are taking decisions on a daily basis. A few examples are, I mean, Claire got involved when the issue of residential home closures were announced. If you remember a couple of years back, the Commissioner took a very active role there to ensure that the older people affected by that were looked after, and that there was actually a change and the strategic approach to residential home cares. The other issue that the Commissioner's Office has been very good in raising has been the value of older people, because quite often we hear about an ageing population and it's viewed quite often in the media as a burden. We're actually, Claire produced an excellent piece of work which highlighted the actual economic contribution of older people to society, which is 50 billion or 25 billion over the next 50 years. So that sort of dispelled the myth that older people are a burden and in fact contribute a vast amount to society going forward. So yes, the Commissioner's Office has achieved a lot in a short period of time, and I look forward to building on that work going forward.
Which minister do you answer to? Is it OFM, DFM, or a specific minister?
Yes, it's under the appointment is under the Office of the First and Deputy First Minister, who have there are changes happening now to government departments, but that has been the department up until now who has responsibility for overseeing all older people's issues, including the active ageing strategy. But there's going to be a number of changes to government going forward after the election this year. So I look forward to working with a range of ministers on a range of issues right across the board.
And how much of a drain on their budgets is the older commissioner, the commissioner, how do I best frame this? The Commissioner for Older People's Commission's Office. how much does that cost a year?
Well, the annual budget is in the region of $750,000 per year. Now, most of that goes in frontline staff costs, and that's for people who are actually working directly on a day-to-day basis, dealing with older people and trying to solve a lot of the different problems and issues that they face. It sounds like a lot of money, Frank, but it actually works out at less than £3 per older person of government spend each year. So I think, you know, when you look at it in terms of having an office that's independent champion to protect older people's rights, I think, you know, that is money that's it's worth spent. But obviously it'll be my role to make sure that I make sure that money is well spent. Older people have campaigned for this office, but there have been very clear in saying to me over the years that it's only good there if the Commissioner actually delivers and has impact on older people. So that's something that I'll be certainly taking very seriously in my new role, and ensuring that we can best use very tight government resources to maximum effect, so older people have a better quality of life here.
And how many staff do you have?
There's currently 14 members of staff in the Commission's office, so it's not a huge organisation. It's dealing with a vast range of issues. I know currently they're dealing with around 200 live complaints from older people, so that's providing older people with support and legal advice on a whole raft of issues such as care at home, hospital care, pensions and benefits, elder abuse and various disputes with public authorities. So there's a whole range of areas that the Commissioner's Office can assist older people with, and I hope that can continue going forward.
There will be people, of course, listening who are in the private sector who have thought 14 members of staff, that's pretty typical civil service.
Well, if you look at the ageing population, Frank, you know, we already have over 300,000 older people. That's going to grow significantly going forward. So it's very important that government is adapting its policies and practices to the ageing population. And that will be good for everyone in society if we've got policies and practices in place that better meet the needs of our older population. It's a good news story that people are living longer, but certainly government needs to adapt how it deals with that changing demographic. So we better support older people in later life, allow them to contribute in all the ways they currently do, and indeed that'll be something for the next generation as well, which will be beneficial as well.
Okay, I may benefit from that commission myself in the near future. I never got a chance to actually congratulate you on the elevation, Eddie. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.